This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live from Surprise at Texas Ranger Spring Training. Thanks in large part to ASCO Equipment, your heavy equipment partner since 1960. Also want to give a shout out to the on-time experts, air conditioning and plumbing. Remember, same day service guaranteed with them. Right now, we bring to you Texas Rangers broadcaster, former play-by-play voice of the El Paso Buzzards. It is Matt Hicks. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. That's right, I did do Buzzards hockey.
How about that for an intro?
I was actually the first broadcaster for the El Paso Buzzards back in 1996, maybe, something like that.
I'm not sure that you think that's the real year it happened at all.
I think it was 1996.
Okay. Somewhere in that range.
Was the last time the Cowboys won playoff games?
Was they won a couple.
Were you a hockey guy then?
So hockey came to El Paso. I had gotten to El Paso in 95. And I was really excited because it was the first time a baseball team had hired me. I had worked for radio stations prior to that. And then the Western Professional Hockey League started up, and there were only six teams in the initial season of WPHL hockey, and El Paso had one of them. And I, just like Eric Nadell, I always wanted to be a hockey broadcaster. And so this opportunity opened up. And the guy who owned the team, the baseball team at the time, the El Paso Diablos, Jim Paul, he's like, yeah, go ahead. It'll be great. I know you love hockey. Go ahead and do it. And so I was. And then he sold the ball club to this conglomerate up in Idaho. And they decided that the hockey team was competition for the baseball team in terms of marketing and sales.
So you can only
I was given an ultimatum. Like, you can stay with the baseball team, but you've got to stop doing the hockey. And then the hockey people were like, well, we'll make you an offer. And basically they made me a full-time offer that matched what I was doing in baseball. And so I was like, well, let's see. The Texas League has been around since 1884.
Yeah.
WPHL is just getting started. I so badly want to do hockey, but there's really no decision to be made here. I need to stay with the more stable organization. And so I dropped hockey after half a season. But, boy, I really wanted to do it. Coming up through the University of Maryland, I thought that's what I was going to do. I became good friends with Ron Weber, who at the time was the Washington Capitals broadcaster. He was their first broadcaster for their first 25 seasons. And I still stay in touch with Ron. He lives in Massachusetts now. I think he's 92. Still sounds like he could do a hockey game. Eric's story, of course, is he grew up, he wanted to be the Rangers broadcaster.
The New York Rangers. Wow, and here he is, the Texas Rangers.
Yeah, so we both wanted to do hockey, and we end up doing baseball, and we love it. So.
How much did you dig Four Nations then? We haven't really had a chance to talk with you about that.
Kind of liked watching. I didn't get a chance to watch every game. I watched some highlights, but I did get a chance basically to watch both games between the United States and Canada, yeah. And that was hockey at its finest. Mm. Man, oh man.
My thought is that that's what baseball should do every third year, eliminate the All-Star game. And you have that wherever the All-Star game was supposed to be, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, four nations, mm-hmm. Japan, United States, let's say Dominican Republic, and Venezuela. And they each play a game Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and whoever has the best records, you can have the tiebreaker be runs for, runs against. Saturday, play a championship game.
Yeah, I mean,
the arms would be built up at that point.
I think Major League Baseball's All-Star game is probably still the best of all of them, mm-hmm. but it's not like it used to be. It's not like it used to. I can remember, so I grew up a Washington Senators fan. So I grew up an American League fan as a kid, and when the All-Star game came around, I was focused. And so were the players.
I was too.
There was pride because you didn't have interleague play.
Yeah.
And, you know, the National League had its own set of this is how we play the game, and the American League played the game a different way, and you felt like your league was the best, and it was pride that was on the line, and that was something that was big back then. And I mean, it's not to say that these guys aren't prideful. They are. If they play in the All-Star game, they want to do well, and they don't want to, you know, slack off and play at 75%.
But they're not trying to be like, American League Baseball, stupid. Watch this. We're going to win. Yeah.
We slug over here in the AL. National League, yeah, they're just a bunch of bunters. That was back in the day.
So anyway, so maybe baseball should consider, you know, something
like
a little bit different.
Every year, but
right, exactly. But I think that of all of the, you know, major sports, that the MLB All-Star Game is probably still the best.
What is your favorite day of the week, Matt?
That was
what?
I listened to y'all's close on Saturday. I was driving around. Going to Rockwall from Dallas for some high school baseball, and I texted Jared after the last out, and you guys kind of spent about 3 minutes figuring out how we're going to close out this spring training game.
Yeah, I know. Jared will every now and then just pull something out of the hat, and he pulled that out of the hat the other day. He doesn't ask me. He just says, well, everybody, you know, well, you know, Matt's favorite day of the week is, and I'm like, no,
was it Thursday?
Well, when he queried me later, I'm like, well, yeah, my favorite day of the week is Thursday because I'm playing along with the bit.
Okay.
You know, my favorite day is Thursday. My second favorite day is Saturday.
Oh, man. Yeah, I get it.
You know.
Oh, in your face Friday.
Yeah. Mondays. You know, right at the bottom of the list. But you know why I picked Thursday?
No.
I was born on a Thursday.
There you go.
And my wife was born on a Thursday. Our son was born on a Thursday.
Now, that is why.
I have no clue.
I don't either. I was just thinking, I have no idea what day of the week my boys were born or my wife or me. I mean, I could tell
mine
you the
was a
date. I could tell you
the
date.
Sure, yeah.
But, like, I have no idea what day of the week
mine was
it
a Wednesday.
Was.
Like, how old are you, kid?
Typhoon in the Philippines.
Oh,
and a strike by Canadian postal workers.
See, I've always kind of thought Tuesday was the worst day because at least Monday you still get some of that reflective glow from the weekend, and you're like, man, that was nice.
And sometimes Monday can be a part of the weekend.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Tuesday's never part of the weekend.
No. Tuesday is absolutely the worst.
You're right. That's a good argument.
Now, we have this conversation a little bit earlier, just in terms of major league talent. You know, Yahoo's been putting out their rankings for 26 and under major league talent, and the Rangers were ranked 22nd. And, like, I know we're excited about Rocker and Carter and Langford, but, like, do you think that there's a lot of proven 26 and under talent on this team? Because it feels like not really.
Yeah, and I don't know, only because I don't really concentrate on stuff like that. You know, here at spring training, you know, there might be a few young guys that you haven't seen that stand out early on. And right now, like for me, Alejandro Osuna.
Yes, we just talked about him.
Has really, like, opened my eyes. And I don't know, like, I don't concentrate on guys' ages, but I think Osuna is 22.
That's correct.
That's correct.
So, but he has been, you know, what I don't know what the numbers say offensively, but it doesn't matter because every at-bat we've seen so far has been a competitive at-bat. Whether he's made an out or not,
he's
really
hard.
Worked the other pitcher. And crazy good defensive plays. Like yesterday, he tried to make a diving catch on a ball that got popped up when Eovaldi was pitching, and the ball fell in and ended up leading to a run, but he almost made a terrific play there. And then later in the ball game, when the game itself was on the line, a ball got crushed into the corner in right field, and he made this incredible diving catch.
That was to close the inning, right?
Saved a run.
Yeah.
At the time, the Guardians had scored 3 runs to get back to within a run. That would have tied the game, but he just laid out. And we talked a little bit with Bruce Bochy yesterday about Osuna, and he said what he likes about him. There's a lot of things that he likes about him, but he likes that he's aggressive, both in his approach at the plate and how he plays in the field, and that he's not afraid to fail. And I think that's one thing when guys are trying to impress people, when they're trying to impress coaches, that there might be a part of them that's like, oh, I've got to do everything right. I can't make any mistakes. And, you know, Bruce Bochy telling us with Osuna, it's okay to make mistakes as long as your approach to everything is correct. And so we're seeing this from this kid. So I don't know if we're going to see Osuna in a Rangers uniform during the regular season this year. I mean, maybe. But the way he's playing right now, he has definitely opened some eyes, and he looks like the kind of guy who would not be uncomfortable if he got called up.
What are your thoughts on, so far, the reviews that are happening from catcher, hitter, or pitcher?
Are we talking about the automatic ball strike system?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not hearing a whole lot, and I actually haven't had a chance to talk, say, to Jonah or Kyle about it. All we can say is that, like, from an observation standpoint, is that Kyle Higashioka is really good at this.
Okay.
I think he's like 4 for 4.
Oh, he knows the strike zone.
In questioning,
only behind the plate or also while he's at bat?
When he is catching.
Okay.
I think he's... did he make a request when he was hitting now?
I don't know.
I don't remember. But it seems like Higashioka really knows the strike zone.
Yeah. If it was me, I would just let my catcher do it. I would tell him if... I think in 26 it's going to be in Major League Baseball.
I think so too.
Is I would tell the catcher, I'm going to trust you because you're behind the dish. I'm not going to concentrate on that.
Or even
that.
Think about it.
I want you, if you think it's a big situation and it was a strike, you do it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to take that out of my hands.
And the fact that they've been able to get it turned around so quickly feels like a
right
huge
away.
Part of it.
And that's not. And what's really nice about it is not just that it happens quickly, but the fans in the ballpark get to see exactly what's going on.
Yeah, tennis.
So they like, know, yeah, exactly. Yeah. They know immediately whether or not the call was overturned or not, and it doesn't take a lot of time. The umpire immediately turns. He addresses the crowd, says that we're going to the automatic ball strike system, and then, you know, whatever the result is. Yesterday we had each team miss. The Guardians missed one. The Rangers missed one. But it doesn't seem like that there's any hesitation to go to this and to get it done. And, of course, we've had one game this year where we were playing over at Sloan Park against the Cubs, and they don't have the ABS system over there.
Mm.
And one of our catchers was just – you could tell that the pitch was not
called correctly.
It was not called correctly. And immediately he requested, like, let's go in and – the umpire had to go, we don't have
the system.
The
stadium,
here.
Sorry.
You can't stop tapping your helmet.
How I'm curious because this is something that I ran into 2 days ago when Rocker was starting. Are you ever at a sporting event? I know most of the time, obviously, you're doing it right here on 105.3 The Fan. Have you ever been in a sporting event and you don't want to get involved in somebody's conversation, even though they've got so many of the facts incorrect? So Kumar Rocker was pitching on Tuesday, and obviously, rough first inning. And the two people behind me, they're like, yeah, wasn't this guy one of their draft picks? And they're like, yeah, he's been terrible. They brought him up last year, and he was just awful. So I think they might cut him. And I was just like...
And then they were like, Leiter and him were at Clemson
and
together.
Yeah, him and Leiter, they both played together at... I think it was Clemson.
Oh,
and
my
I
gosh.
Was like,
oh,
I was
my
like,
gosh.
Shut your mouth, Kevin. You do not want to get involved in this conversation. But like, have you been in those situations where you're like, I do not want to be in this conversation, but there are so many factual inaccuracies.
There are times, and I don't do it very often, there are times that I'll come out here at spring training where I'm not working, and I'll just sit in the crowd, and you'll hear those conversations, and you just bite your lip because you do not want to speak up and say anything because you want to be entertained too, right? You want to where's this conversation
that
going?
Was entertaining.
You know, and I would have never thought that a couple of guys would be talking about Rocker and Leiter and going, yeah, I think they went to Clemson. So
and one of them sucks.
he's terrible.
So and that's an advertisement for, you know what, when you come to the ballpark, you ought to bring your radio because maybe you'll find out a little something. And Jared was quick to realize in Kumar's start the other day that he was throwing a lot of soft curves, a lot of slow curves, which is a pitch that he doesn't feature very often. So clearly he was working
trying
on that
out,
pitch. And I think he was throwing some changeups as well. So he was working on stuff. And that's what guys do, right? He's not – Kumar Rocker's not necessarily worried about results here. It's not like his – status in the organization is going to be impacted because he gives up 4 runs in an inning. He's working on adding to his pitching repertoire. So, you know, maybe bring a radio and learn something.
Matt, this is on paper. This team looks like the bats can just crush. Like it looks like and even Bochy told us, you know, we feel like we can get back to the slugging ways again. From what you've seen or from what you've seen this offseason as they put this together, what gives you that promise that it could be kind of like what we saw in 23, what we saw a couple years ago again?
Well, number one is health, and I know that sounds, you know, it's overused.
I want to drive that home. That's a big deal.
All of these guys are healthy right now, and so that's the big thing. Plus, you know, the two biggest additions to the lineup, you went out and you got some slug in Jock Peterson and Jake Berger. And Peterson also gives you the added plus of on base percentage. So whatever he hits, if he hits 240, his OBP is going to be 340, 350, something in that neighborhood, and he is going to slug. And, you know, Peterson from the left side, Berger from the right side. Berger maybe not as much in the on-base department, but, you know, you've got two guys there that could potentially hit 30 home runs. And so you put them in and around – you know, Corey Seager, and you hope a resurgent Adolis Garcia,
yeah,
and Josh Young being in the lineup every day. Now you're talking, you know, 2 through 7 in the order, and that's a grind for an opposing pitcher because everybody coming up at that, in those spots is a home run threat. And I think that that's where the Rangers want to be. I don't remember exactly what the numbers are, but last year the Rangers were 22nd or 23rd. In OBP, 22nd or 23rd in slugging.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're in the bottom third of baseball in terms of that. And I think that's really what this team is concentrating on is slugging, just driving the ball, hitting the ball hard. If you don't get the home run, get the double. So that's where the focus is for this offense.
Man, thank you very much for jumping on with us. I saw multiple people are like, I can hear your voice. It's baseball time.
Yeah, it is.
So
yeah, it
thank
is.
You very
you
much
can hear for my jumping voice. On
with us. Yeah, you can hear Bassick's voice throughout this press box. I don't care where you are. Close all the doors. Mike Bassick will be heard.
I love it. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, let's do some AM on the FM.
We got the question of the day, plus, what is Fat Camp? We're going to hear about it next on the Fan.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We're live at spring training for the Texas Rangers in Surprise, Arizona. Remember, I hope you're watching those Best Buy windows and siding confessional videos. We've had a few fun ones out there already. I know Sean and RJ are getting stuff done at the combine and
G-Bag. They don't even want to talk to us anymore.
That is true. Are you going to give them no choice but to talk to you tomorrow?
I don't.
Tomorrow?
Yeah, Sean controls it.
Mm.
But it's a Mike Bassett crosstalk. The penultimate Mike Bassett crosstalk.
No, that one will be
that'll
the last
be it.
One.
Do you call it the ultimate or just the pin?
I think the ultimate one.
The tertiary.
Ultimate. No, I'm not. I already had this conversation with you off air. All right. Now,
look at all the Rangers.
It's time for this.
What does this button do? Please, please, do not push the button. You have no idea what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful. One for Alec, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
Don't you dare do it, especially you, Michael. It's the last time you get to do it. It's time for
Alec.
AM on the FM. Yeah, it's going to be a sad one, but it's going to be a fun one. 877-881-1053. That is the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorney's text line to answer the question of the day. And yes, you're going to learn what Fat Camp is here in just a second.
Man.
A great story coming from the New England Patriots. Get to that here in just a little bit, but we're going to go with the question of the day first, gentlemen. How do you celebrate Christmas? No, I'm just kidding. Today today is not Christmas.
Son of a bitch.
I love you, Alec.
I love you too, Corey. It is not Christmas, so Kevin, you are off the hook. But you know what today is? I hear Ruben laughing.
Kevin, shut up, Corey and Ruben. Stop freaking laughing.
How do you celebrate Ramadan?
Jeez.
Man, I know Mike just wants me to curse again, so he'll be like, oh, now we got a show. This is a fun show.
Yeah, and that makes my job harder. So.
No, I mean, hope not.
That's fair. Today is National Pokemon Day. So
oh,
I know that'll,
sweet.
That'll make Ruben's ears perk up and as he throws a fist up in the air on the fan cam. I can see that. Today is National Pokemon Day. It is the anniversary of the Pokemon Company's birth, essentially. So, I'm going to ask you guys, what is one franchise that you will just never give up on? No matter what kind of wrong they do, no matter how many sequels or whatever, things that, you know, maybe the general public might not really agree with or they'll just kind of forget about it. What is one franchise that you will always stick with?
Because I have Kevin's answer. The Cowboys.
I mean, that's solid. That's a solid starting point.
That's a good bit. I was going to say the Star Wars franchise, the greatest trilogy of movies ever made, and because of that, I'm willing to cut them all sorts of leeway. Although there is a lot of other good Star Wars content out
Didn't the lady who, like, destroyed all the goodwill with Lucasfilm fans, like, didn't she just
Kathleen Kennedy.
She was like, all right, guys, I screwed up enough of the Indiana Jones stuff.
People really didn't like her.
I'm out of here.
I bet she laughed her way to the bank, though.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, they have a lot
of money.
How
much she made.
I'll look up her net worth if you want.
Let's see. I'm already halfway there. Let's see.
Oh, great.
Wow. $300 million.
That doesn't surprise me. Like,
seems
that
low.
Is it?
Yeah, I don't know, man. Okay. That seems low for the Lucasfilm franchise.
All right.
That's
but
fair.
Then again,
yeah.
Was it that made him the most money? Was it all the toys?
I mean, yeah, the fact that he made his sequels and Fox is like, do you want the toy rights? That's great. Who cares?
Where are you guys at with Marvel? I don't care at all about this Captain America or Red Hulk. I've just grown. I used to love them, but after they beat Thanos, I'm like, all right, they won.
Yeah, and that
I think I might be in that spot.
That's
too
interesting, because that is the movie lifestyle, right? Movies are good guy, bad guy loses, we all happy.
Yeah.
Comic book has always been there's something else on the horizon. Like, there's something else out there that's going to make its way, and I have to defend against it, or I'm going to have to team up with this guy over here. So that is the universe just keeps expanding. I will say Marvel still has me. I haven't watched the new Captain America yet. I will see it. I have Disney Plus. It all just kind of rolls. Yes, I know. I know. Big deal here. Disney
that
Plus.
That Plano money.
Yeah, that is the Plano. No, but the I really got it for Lucy and then just kept it because I started liking all the Marvel stuff. It's that and probably Indiana Jones. I don't care how bad the Indiana Jones movies get.
Oh,
I will watch them
last two
as soon
great
as they come out.
I've never watched an Indiana Jones movie from start to finish.
Really?
I've just always become very disinterested in the movie quickly.
Huh. Interesting.
I love Harrison Ford.
Okay, well, yeah, I guess you probably wouldn't be changing your mind now then. So that's I'm with you on the Marvel thing, though. And I loved all the buildup because I got the origin stories for everything. I got the interconnection at a time when that wasn't really there a whole lot. I know X-Men had come out at the beginning of the century or 1999, but like this felt like an explosion of comic book stuff. Now you can find that content everywhere. And I'm like, eh, I'm okay.
Let's see. From the 469 Transformers. That's one that, yeah, I mean, my first car was a black and yellow Camaro. Like that.
I really thought you were going to say it transformed.
That would be amazing. It did have the Autobot, like, emblems all over on the wheels
sure
and stuff.
I'm sure you would be amazed by that. I'm pretty sure there'd be poop in your pants if that happened.
Yeah, the first time for sure, but after that, we'd be friends. I feel like me and Bumblebee would be homies at some point.
Well, if it's Bumblebee, it's nice. Don't you think, like, if it was a Decepticon and it transformed and then you started flying through the sky at 6,000 miles an hour?
Yeah, I would would freak out.
Yeah, if Starscream, you know, came and scooped me up, I would be terrified.
I've always been kind of, the Decepticons are weird to me.
Are you saying gons?
Yeah.
Decepticons?
Okay.
Yeah, Decepticons.
Nope.
More than meets the eye. They can already fly when they're robots. Mm-hmm. Well, then they turn into
an airplane.
Yeah.
Why?
I get, like, the
Autobots.
Autobots, the good guys, they're driving. They're trucks, they're Bumblebee drivers, and then they're like, we need to fly, transform into a robot that can fly. But the Decepticons don't really have, like, they have an advantage of they're always going fast, whether they're flying as robots or flying as planes, but
that's an interesting point.
Yeah. Oh, we need to really transform into an airplane. You can already fly, you moron.
The one franchise you will never give up on as long as it exists. 877-881-1053. Interesting one from the 248. Minions.
Oh, Minions is dope. They put out good quality stuff.
I haven't seen the last Minions.
I can almost guarantee you'll sit down, watch it, and enjoy it.
Yeah.
Like, it's one of those where I see the preview, I'm like, another one, huh?
Those
and then I sit down
fun
and I watch them, and I'm like, oh, man, those little Minions crack me up, dude.
Hey, Alec, the Rangers are getting ready as they're stretching on the field, and you can tell the fun goofball on the team is Jock Peterson. He has on a cutoff shirt. He has on a snow cap, and he is not doing any of the stretching.
What? Why not?
Like, stretching's for chumps.
He's like, I don't move fast.
He's like, give me a backwards.
He's like, give me a cheeseburger and a baseball bat.
You need to stretch muscles
look,
if you
look,
have
watch, Alec, you keep talking. Just watch how Jock goes through these stretches.
I love how Boach told y'all the other day his nickname for Jock is Cat in the Hat because of the beanie that he wears and how tall it is. Like, the first pictures we got from the Rangers' social media accounts at spring training last week was Jock Peterson, and I was like, yes. This is my favorite player. I don't care what he does on the field. Like, he's going to be my favorite player this season.
See how.
And Alec, it's Rhyperior. That's my favorite. That's my favorite Pokemon.
You're supposed to go down, put your foot up way high, and touch the ground. Jacques is just kicking his foot off the ground. And being like, that's good.
He's kind of bending forward.
That's enough. All right, now jog to the. He's like, I'm walking.
And that's real though. From the 865, they say for me, it's always The Simpsons. Kevin will appreciate that.
Yeah, you know, I still watch every single episode of The Simpsons, but it's very rare that I'm like, oh man, what a great episode. But that's a good point. I still stick with them.
817 got it right. The Bond, they crank out good movies.
Barry Bonds.
They're about to change that up.
What do you mean? They're done doing Bond movies?
No, not that they're done doing Bond movies, but they've moved it away from the original producers and people that created this film universe. And I know there's a lot of people concerned that it's going to go to crap now.
No, like there's just this elegance and class that they've always had, right? It always felt like he's the GQ standard. And the things that he does, the way that he approaches... and he's kind of a womanizer, but the way he approaches
everything.
I mean,
he definitely is, and maybe a sexual assaulter from the old
ones. Oh, really?
Yeah, oh, yeah. No, James, no. You mean yes.
Yeah, I do remember that, being like, oh, my gosh.
But I'm so entertained by Jock Peterson not stretching. He is trying hard not to stretch.
Hey, Mike, but a good point from the 901. Do you ever see a lion stretch before it takes down a gazelle?
Oh, man.
A little bit. They do that arch of the back.
Do you? How many videos do you see the whole saga of the lion?
I think
going
the lion just wakes
gazelle.
Up and stretches. You know,
like his whole body's, a dog or a cat.
Yeah, he's just as soon as he gets up in the morning or whatever from his nap, he's like, oh, man, I'm stretching it out right now.
Thanks, Corey. Do you guys remember the name Stephen Ridley?
Wide receiver, Alabama.
That's Calvin Ridley.
Stunk at Jacksonville. Thanks a lot, Calvin.
Well, he was a third-round draft pick of the Patriots some odd years ago, a running back. And here he is on Julian Edelman's Games with Names podcast. He was talking about how Bill Belichick and the Patriots had a system known as Fat Camp, and he was subjected to it.
Bill put me in Fat Camp, but I was overweight. Do you want me to go ahead and elaborate on that?
What is Fat Camp?
You get to New England, and of course, you have that meeting where you come in there, and you're a rookie. He gives you your playing weight. Nash is like, Ridley, you got some work to do. I'm like, all right. You know, I ain't scared of work. Coach said you got to be at 220. I said, 220? How? He said, don't ask me. I'm just telling you what the boss man said. And I said, well, which boss man are we talking about? He said, you can go see the head man if you want to.
You took that long-ass walk down those hallways.
To that entry door.
And you saw Bears.
Cross Bears' office. I said, Bears, is coach available? I didn't think I was doing anything wrong. I might have been getting off on the wrong foot with Bill Belichick. Because here I am as a rookie walking into his office trying to tell him what my playing weight would be.
He thought you were going in there to negotiate a couple pounds.
Can we meet in the middle?
This guy thinks he can go talk to Bill.
Go talk to Bill, you know?
What an idiot.
I said, Coach, can I come in and sit down? He said, yeah, Rid, come on in and sit down. Sat down. He's like, what you got, Rid? I said, Coach, I need to talk to you about this weight. And he said, what's the number? I can't really remember what I had. 220. That's impossible. And he looked at me and he said, well, Rid, I mean, really, I think it's only about $563 per pound per day that you're overweight. So it's really up to you. I can do quick math. I'm third round draft pick. I ain't got money like that. So Fat Camp, I went.
Were you better at 220?
Quick as a cat, man. Freaking nasty, dude. Once I got to that playing weight, I'm like, hey, Bill knows what the hell he's talking about.
Still amazing to me that NFL teams do put a dollar amount fine on your weight per pound per day. That is awesome. And the fact that he was like, I should have listened because I was quick at 220. Quick as a cat, he says. So the fact that Fat Camp exists at least with the New England Patriots, but I've heard similar stories from other franchises. But the fact that they just called it Fat Camp, and if you're overweight, you go there, you get your weight down so you don't get fined by the team per pound per day. And hey, Bill Belichick, you know, one of the greatest of all time for a reason. He says if you're going to play at this weight, you're going to play at this weight for a reason. And it sounds like it worked.
Man, phenomenal. Thank you very much, good sir. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy. Will these new quarterback team combinations be in place for 2025? KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, where Mike has become enamored with the effort or perhaps
lack thereof.
They're about to take infield practice. I am falling in love with Jock Peterson.
Because he warms up like a football player? Is that what he's
like? He's like talking to Josh Smith after four throws. Are you good? Like, do we have to throw this baseball anymore? I just want to hit bombs.
Josh Young is now walking in as well. He was warming up with Berger. Berger's back, Kevin, by the way.
Oh, yes.
I do believe he had a... Is that, can we tell him about that?
I might not say anything about
that.
He's
back
today.
And it's for a great reason.
Yeah.
So we're glad that he is back at camp and we get to see what he's capable of today. As Mike is pointing out, they are getting ready to work on some infield, outfield stuff.
By the way,
Jock
Peterson might be the biggest proponent of the nosebleed seats right now in the locker room. So he's like been scouting out, just waiting this morning for Luke Jackson. He's like, come on.
I honestly think they could have a weekly with him.
Oh, like, yeah.
Spittle, if you're listening, you might be able to get a weekly with Jock Peterson at a discounted rate. It just might have to be that Gavin and Broadus can't ask any questions.
Yeah.
It just has to be.
He was pumped. The second he saw Luke, he's like, hey, come here. You got to interview with these guys. Now,
he's like that around the clubhouse about everything.
Yeah.
They had bats this morning.
Yeah.
And he's like, Sebastian, look, we got bats. And he's excited about that.
He
took off sprinting once he found out.
I did find a couple of people who are not going to engage in the nosebleed seat shenanigans.
They got Luke Jackson today, but it was only because like Peterson was like, Luke, I don't care what you say, you're doing this.
And they talked for a really long time.
They did. So that was a long conversation.
I'm intrigued by that. Right now, what say we go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy?
Baseman's glove right now.
And we start with the NFL media showdown that nobody knew we wanted or needed and probably still don't. Jordan Schultz of Fox and Ian Rappaport of NFL media got into a heated interaction at the Starbucks. So I'm not sure
this is wild.
It really is. And so Schultz, and there's like a lot of other media people there, and so it got reported on.
I think they're on the undercard for Patrick Mahomes Sr. and Joe Rocker.
God,
I think
is that still happening?
I don't know.
So Schultz came up to Rappaport and said, we need to talk. And Rappaport said, we don't need to talk.
Oh, man.
And it was something like that. And then Schultz said something to the effect of, if you have anything to say, say it to my effing face.
Oh, wow.
Although he said he just said my face,
gotcha.
Not effing. And so they went back and forth and argued for a while. And Schultz supposedly said, if it happens again, we're going to have a problem. And now I'll step back. So Ian Rappaport and Jordan Schultz getting into a kind of dust up, I guess, at the Starbucks.
Man,
is that a thing that we needed?
I don't know that it needed to be reported on that two reporters are, you know what they always say, don't become the story if you're a reporter.
It's just because it happened in front of all these other reporters.
Yeah.
Also,
that's a good time, I guess, at the combine.
I learned in the story from Pro Football Talk that Jordan Schultz is the son of the former Starbucks CEO.
Yes, you told me that this morning.
I had no freaking idea. So, you know, he's probably not hurting for money or whatever.
Yeah, probably not.
Let's go from that to Abdul Carter. Now, this story has changed really quickly in several hours. So it started kind of in the middle of the night. I only saw it this morning. That Abdul Carter, who there's plenty of people out there think is the number one prospect in this draft, the defensive end out of Penn State. And if you don't think he's number one, certainly he's high up on the list. Word came out that he might need foot surgery. And then Drew Rosenhaus told reporters there are mixed opinions on whether he needs surgery, and we'll figure that out in the near future. Well, apparently the near future happened really, really quickly because this morning, there's been a further update that he does not need surgery on his foot, and he still plans to participate in workouts at Penn State Pro Day.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good to hear there. with this
the Cowboys,
with this shaky news. Yeah, it's Mike's true. Right. With this shaky news, nice job, Sebastian Walcott.
His arm must be, by the way, Walcott's arm must be tender or bugging him because they're not allowing him to throw the baseball.
Yeah, he's just fielding. I wouldn't take him any higher than 12 if I'm in the draft right now. I would say I would pass.
Can you imagine, though, if the Cowboys pass on him?
Well, I mean, they wouldn't because at 12 is where you take him. Mm. So I think all the rest of the team should be on high alert and really, really dive in on this medical situation. Don't pay attention to the film with this guy. You know, like, I think this is more of a medical thing. Let him drop out of the top 10. That's a big deal.
Stress reaction in his right foot. He's probably done.
He might not play his rookie season. You know, he might not play for the first 3 years of his career. Teams out there that are drafting. He's one of those guys. Like, he's a special edge rusher, and he's going to be really good for. That is interesting that this injury is this early, though, because, you know, it does take a little bit of burst out of things. But, yeah, he's going to be special no matter what.
Well, and Abdul Carter said, well, I guess not said, he posted the meme of Darth Vader in the recovery chamber.
I love it, dude.
I guess he added that you can't stop greatness and pointed out Penn State's pro day. So
is he saying that Darth Vader is greatness?
I think those. That's a good question.
I mean, is that what you're getting?
Maybe he meant his recovery ability since he got all his limbs chopped off and he got burned to death. And he was like, "Ah, I'll still be there." Maybe that's what he meant. That's an interesting point that I hadn't really considered until you just said that. But
exactly.
Yeah. So apparently he will not need surgery and he said he's going to be good to go. All right. Would you guys like to see?
Are you still watching Peterson?
Watching it all. Yeah.
Would you guys like?
He's like, I caught it. Shut up.
Yeah. Leave me alone. I got my snow cap on and my cutoff shirt. Amazing. All right. Would you guys like to see overtime rules in the regular season be the same as the playoffs? Because apparently that is something that is being discussed by the competition committee.
Not necessarily. And I know it seems dumb to change the rules. Baseball does that, though, right? Baseball changes the rules for postseason. But I don't necessarily want longer games in the regular season. I'm not clamoring for it. There are some days where I'm like, man, let's get this one done with. So I don't necessarily want them to change it because it does feel like it kind of quickens the regular season. Now, that being said, it does feel unfair if you miss the playoffs by a game and you lost that game in the overtime and you're like, dadgummit, if they would have given us a chance to have the ball, we'd be in the playoffs right now. That's going to be a rare occasion. That'll be maybe one team every other year that happens to.
Now, we've had this story for about a week, just haven't talked about it, haven't had the time, which is interesting because it's gotten an update in that time. J.J. Watt might be coming out of retirement because of soccer. So, J.J. Watt and his wife are minority owners of the English football club Burnley, which are third in the championship table. So, all the way back in December, the Burnley goaltender, James Trafford, asked J.J. Watt to come out of retirement and play for the Bengals. And so, Watt said, if you don't allow a goal for the rest of the season, it's a deal. And he put that on social media, and you're like, oh, ha, ha, ha. So Trafford has now gone 12 straight games without giving up a goal.
Oh, my.
And they play again on Saturday.
What?
But yeah, J.J. Watt essentially, like, kind of doubled down on this the other day. And he's like, I mean, I guess I probably have to do it if he keeps giving up no goals. So it's the second longest streak in the history of English soccer without giving up a goal for a specific keeper and a team. So they're already almost on the cusp of history. They've got another game on Saturday. They've got more after that. But what do you think about the prospect of J.J. Watt being used by soccer to get back into the NFL and maybe on the Cincinnati Bengals?
Bet's a bet. You know, like, if you're going to bet something, pay it off if you can. With the Bengals, that's interesting. They could use it. Like, they definitely could use a pass rusher. He's old, though. Like, he retired for a reason.
That's true.
He does say that he's still physically ready. I think a lot of those guys do know their body, but a lot of them also get out there after they think they know their body, and they go, oh, crap, I forgot why I stopped. But you've seen the commercials. Him and TJ are always battling back and forth on their Pelotons or whatever.
And look, I think that team still has like another 11 or 12 games left. So he's only like halfway to what he would have to accomplish to get J.J. Watt back out of retirement.
I think it'd be amazing, though, if he got all the way to it and didn't give... That would be an awesome story.
It really, really would. All right, let's go to the quarterback front, where the Saints have decided they're done with next season. They said they're going to keep Derek Carr and believe they could win with Derek Carr. Now, I don't know if they mean win the appropriate amount of games they want to get a better draft pick or what exactly they're looking for there. But they said they're going to keep Derek Carr, and he's going to be their starter next season. The 49ers, per John Lynch, their GM, said they have already started talking contract extension with Brock Purdy, and he said, quote, "There's no doubt Brock Purdy is our guy." Okay. And so San Francisco has decided whether you think he is, whether you think he's not. San Francisco 49ers have apparently decided that Brock Purdy is their guy.
And I guess when it comes to that, the as the coach, you're riding with that decision, and that's your job now. Like, your job is reliant on, can your quarterback help you get over the top? And I bet Shanahan's sitting there saying, I have to build a better team still. I still have to get... I got to keep this thing young, fast, strong, and aggressive, and be able to do that. They can't just let this thing get old and then burn out with it and hope that it just then turns to reliance on Brock Purdy. But he's going to have to continue his growth in this endeavor.
I'm going to be really curious to see what that number comes in at in terms of the per year.
It can't be like a Dak contract, right? Does it have to be? It doesn't have to be that.
I don't know, but don't you think that he probably still wants like in the, $53, $55 million range?
Probably so.
He's seen it, but he's accomplished more than Dak.
I mean,
so maybe he does.
I wasn't going to have that dispute. I was just talking about the number, but yeah, it's just wild.
But if you're his agent, and you're like, this is what
this
Dak
is the
got,
going rate.
Yeah, and this
Dak
is
can't
what
beat my guy
exactly. So I'll be fascinated to see what that number comes in at. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, where does Corey Seager rank in the key categories among the Big Five shortstops? Let's do it next right here in The Fan.